Australia's scientific community is standing at a junction facing, quote, uncomfortable and sometimes invidious decisions in a much more uncertain world. That's what the boss of Australia's National Science Agency, the CSIRO, will warn the country at the National Press Club in Canberra today. In its centenary year, the billion-dollar agency is celebrating landmark Australian innovation, from the development of vaccines to the foundation of modern Wi-Fi. But it's also searching for new, sustainable missions after devastating cuts to staffing and research functions over the past 8 months. Doug Hilton joined me earlier, the CSIRO CEO, joined me from our Parliament House studio. Doug, you say the CSIRO faced a profound sustainability crisis that had been building for half a century when you took over as CEO in 2023. Where's the organisation now, 3 years on?
I think we're in a more sustainable place now. One of the big challenges for the organisation was around infrastructure that hadn't been properly repaired and maintained and was just getting old. And, you know, to do great science, you need contemporary infrastructure, you know, and the right equipment to be able to support the talented scientists we have. So I think with the additional support we got from government in MyEFO and this year's budget, we're on a pathway to that sustainability and revitalisation of the organisation.
What's the situation for jobs? Because you announced plans to cut up to 350 jobs, and rather than pruning budgets, you elected to, quote, exit a number of research areas entirely. How do you reflect on what the organisation has lost over the past year?
Yeah, as an organisation, we had to make decisions about what we were going to focus on. It takes multidisciplinary teams to do science. And we looked around the country and asked where others were doing work at scale. And human health is a great example of where our big universities have, you know, huge initiatives in their faculties of medicine to do health and medical research. And that didn't seem a strategic place for CSIRO to do science. Whereas we focused on biosecurity. And I think, you know, the H5N1 outbreak at the moment shows that CSIRO has a really crucial role to play there. So we've made some choices. They've been difficult choices. They've had real impact on staff and their families. And, you know, that can't be underestimated and, you know, has had a profound impact in communities. But in the end, we have to be able to look the public in the eye and say that we're using the public funding that we're receiving to do the science that we believe will deliver best impact for the nation.
As you're saying, the government has injected $600 million into the organisation through MyEFO and the budget in May, but you haven't backtracked on the cuts to jobs and research functions. How confident are you that you've made the right decision on research that aligns with the national interest and public expectation?
We went through the first whole of organisation review of our science and really identified areas that we thought we could generate impact at scale. And they're things like assisting with the electricity transition, work on critical minerals, work that we do with AI and using AI across science, as well as things like biosecurity. So I think the areas of prioritisation we've chosen are really good areas. And we needed to be able to reduce the size of the organisation in order to be sustainable. So having received the funding, I think the temptation would have been to save those jobs or rehire new people, but that in the end wouldn't make us good stewards for the next 10 or 20 years.
You say that collaboration is a key pillar for the CSIRO in the future, but you also call co-investment a double-edged sword. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think we see this in universities as well. When academics or scientists are spending most of their time chasing money, it means they have less time to do the science that they're really skilled to do. So for us, co-investment is fantastic, where we can generate the scale to do things more quickly and with greater impact.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Doug Hilton, the boss of the CSIRO. He'll be addressing the National Press Club today on Australia's sovereign scientific capabilities. Doug, one of the new priorities is artificial intelligence. How do we chart a course that builds capability and resilience?
That's a great question. And for me, I think there are a couple of answers to that. The first is we need to be investing where we can for Australian foundation models and to use Australian data to really inform Australia's progress as a country. And there are some really interesting areas where we can do that. We have to be judicious. And then the other really important thing is to be able to take the AI that's developed, wherever it's developed, ensure that it's safe and fit for purpose for Australian conditions, and then roll it out where we can have great impact. And in CSIRO, what we're trying to do is take the AI expertise we have and align it to the areas of great priority, things like biosecurity, things like critical minerals processing, our agriculture sector, where we need sustainability and productivity every year, and then, you know, things like the electricity transition.
The federal government has released a national AI plan and last week committed to a new AI safety institute. How do your researchers fit into that ecosystem?
I think one of the great things about CSIRO, and probably the reason we're trusted, is that we will provide government and public service the data, the information, the analysis of where the science is heading, so that our elected representatives and our public servants can make the choices that we need to make as a country. So CSIRO is not an organisation that makes policy, but it's an organisation that provides science and expertise so that the best possible policy outcomes can be made.
The CSIRO has been involved in the testing and monitoring of the H5 bird flu outbreak across the country. How much success are you having with containment, and how worried are your scientists about the threat to native species, particularly endangered species?
I think everybody's worried about the potential impact of H5N1 on our native species. There's a lot that's not known. It's the first time this variant of the virus has come to our shores. You know, we escaped it. We were the last continent free of H5N1. So we're not quite sure how the virus will impact the endemic species that we have here. We're seeing obviously case numbers increase, and CSIRO has a really important role in both the diagnosis of the virus. So when we have sick birds, the testing's done in our facility in Geelong. But also by sequencing the genome of the virus, we can begin to understand the relationship between a virus in one bird and a virus in another. So it was a little bit like COVID contact tracing. Mm. And that's the role we play. And we, again, provide that information quickly and reliably to our agencies in state and federal government so that the decisions can be made around farming and around wild birds.
The government has committed operational funding for the CSIRO Australian Centre for Disease Preparedness. How important is that facility in a post-COVID environment?
Look, that facility is unique in the Southern Hemisphere and one of just a handful worldwide. It's a facility that allows us to be able to do biosecurity research onshore. And when we think about H5N1, that's exactly the facility that does the testing. So they're a facility that is open 24/7. An incredible group of scientists down there who keep that facility operational and then respond to real pressures that we've had during COVID and during this bird flu outbreak. So where biosecurity is, you know, it's an emerging issue globally. So having a facility like that that is modern, fit for purpose, and able to respond to these great challenges, I think is incredibly important.
What's the main message that you will be delivering to government, the scientific community and the public at the press club today?
The messages really are that science has an incredibly important role to play in our national trajectory. I think as a nation, to take advantage of that, we need our institutions and our scientists to focus, collaborate and be highly accountable and communicate the great benefits of science really widely across the community so we can avoid a sort of us and them around science support.
Doug Hilton, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Always a pleasure.